Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. We got Jay Binkley filling in for Cody today. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day. Also, George Brett was in studio this morning with Fesco and Dusty. How cool was that? He was on for what, like an hour and a half or so with them this morning?
It's one of those few people you sit back and go, it's George freaking Brett.
Yeah.
Like growing up my age, I mean, it was George Brett, it was Tom Watson, it was Lynn Dawson. I mean, that's what it was. And yeah, George freaking Brett. And I mean, I've seen Jeff Gordon. I told you one day I was walking in the building and someone held the door and I was like, turned around and said, it's Jeff freaking Gordon. He's like, but George Brett, man, come on, man. You didn't get any better than that.
I mentioned that he was on the show because he had something to say about this offseason and the Royals' plans with one particular player. I want to get your guys' reaction to what he had to say about someone that might be coming back. And if you think that changes the look for this team next year, we'll explain who that is. Coming up after we talk to Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor for ChiefsOnSI.com. Briscoe, good to have you on the show again, man. We got a little bit more time till we get to Monday Night Football, obviously, a full weekend. Starting with what occurred yesterday, I don't know if you're on the same page with me, but seeing the Texans and how they look, number one, but then also where they are in the standings and record-wise, this number one seed, it's down to the Chiefs and Bills, right?
Hey, listen, someone in the sound of my voice right now is not respecting Mike Tomlin's Pittsburgh Steelers, and I won't have it. Because that is part of, honestly, the measuring stick here now, is that legitimately, just standings-wise, it's the Chiefs, and then it's the Steelers and the Bills neck and neck. Mm-hmm. I am with you. I think Josh Allen's team is far more likely to catch the Chiefs than Russell Wilson's team. But I never thought that we'd see a 6-2 Steelers team with this roster they came into this year with. So I do genuinely want to give them a little bit of respect there. But that is the amazing thing, man. I mean, especially with the Texans falling last night, I'd been looking at the schedule thinking, okay, well, there's not a whole lot of huge challenges for the Chiefs along the way. They'll lose a game somewhere. I'm not really even interested in the undefeated chatter. We're around the halfway mark. We'll get there when we get there. But that Bills game, and then truly that Steelers game on Christmas, could end up mattering. If the Chiefs do lose to Buffalo, maybe stub their toe somewhere else, that game against the Steelers could actually be for positioning. I'm sure the Steelers will stumble by then anyway, but that just sends you to a game in Buffalo where you will either be able to all but claim your one seed on November 17th, or maybe you have to scramble around a little bit later. But the Chiefs could not be in a better position. And for all the things we talk about during, like, the NFL schedule release, or, you know, looking at all the matchups and who gets the most off days, the only thing that really matters in my book in the regular season, at least for a team like the Chiefs that has higher aspirations, is that number one overall seed. I think it's easy to say, well, you know, there'll be anybody in the wild card round. They saw them handle the Dolphins last year. But a first round bye means two things. It means you literally cannot lose and you cannot get hurt. In fact, everybody rests up. We saw what Travis Kelce looked like with an extra week to get ready for the playoffs last year. The way that the schedule looks right now, man, the Chiefs might have a couple of weeks to sit Travis Kelce down if they'd like.
Yeah, it's good. So, hey, Joshua, I asked the guys this question. I'm curious your thoughts on it. Take Mahomes out of the equation. Who's the next quarterback to win a Super Bowl? Because I asked these guys that question. I like to ask people that. Who do they feel they'd put their money on to be the next quarterback to actually win one?
I think I would go Josh Allen just if I'm doing like a real quarterback evaluation. I think he's so clearly the second best quarterback in football, or at least the second highest ceiling, the second most fun to watch. For me, it is Mahomes on a tier of his own, and then Allen in a tier of his own, and then you can start to stack really, really good players, Lamar and Burrow, and I really like Justin Herbert still, even though I know he hasn't won anything. You can kind of shuffle those guys around. I think Allen's alone on an island on that second tier, but I think if you were going to have me pick a team, I think the quarterback answer might be Jared Goff.
I like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. If it's, and I'm with you. Yesterday when we had this discussion, I said Josh Allen as well. And then I mentioned Goff. If you're going to say him, though, you to me are saying you believe they're winning it this year.
Right, and I think that, you know, by the reality of the fact that the Chiefs only have to beat one NFC team, and the fact that if you are an NFC team who gets there, I think everybody pretty unanimously, not that the favorite is ever guaranteed, but pretty unanimously would say that Detroit has sort of the best path. I think you get to a Super Bowl, let's say it is Chiefs-Lions, which would be one heck of a couple of weeks leading up to that game. If it is Chiefs-Lions, weird things happen in Super Bowls. The Chiefs lost the one that they lost because their offensive line fell apart. Injuries stack up and affect everybody. So I think Goff has the best chance to win it this year in the NFC. So if I'm removing Mahomes from the equation, I think you kind of have to put him on that pedestal. And then I might be willing to say Love after that, but I don't think this Packers team's probably getting it done this year. But again, man, once you get to the playoffs, football is so beautiful and so chaotic for these one-game sample sizes where a couple of injuries or one out-of-body quarterback performance totally changes the face of the league for a few years. It's awesome.
We're talking to our Chiefs contributor, Josh Briscoe, here on 96.5 The Fan. We know the Chiefs add to that defensive line with an edge rusher this week in Joshua Uche. Mike Dana back at practice yesterday. What I guess, do you think we're going to see out of that transaction, that particular trade? Is he just going to rotate in a little bit? Is he an insurance policy? How do you see that trade playing out, knowing that Mike Dana potentially could be back soon?
I think I would describe Joshua Uche right now as a weapon for Steve Spagnuolo and for this defense. It's interesting kind of looking at the makeup of this group after so many years of Spag seemingly trying to kind of like get his type of guys in there. Most people, I imagine, have something pop into mind when I say like a Steve Spagnuolo defensive end. And it's guys with power and length and size who can hold an edge and cave in an edge. And that's partially even exaggerated by having Chris Jones in the middle. If you can hold and crush the edges, Chris Jones up the middle is going to make quarterbacks' lives miserable. But the one sort of like speed rush plan I think they had in recent years they really invested in was Felix and Udike Uzomah. Well, he's played pretty well at times this year, but in a twist I did not expect at any point, he seems to be better on first and second downs right now than he is on third downs, which is okay. I mean, that's really useful. It's just not what I expected. I don't think it's what the Chiefs expected when they drafted him at the end of the first round. So what you have now is you have George Karloftis, who plays so many snaps, and I know his like water polo heart is going to allow him to keep doing that, but taking a little bit off his plate wouldn't be terrible for me. So you have Karloftis, who's out there pretty much every down. Dana, who doesn't have a lot of pass rush juice, but is a good pass rusher from the interior. You're waiting on Charles Omenihu to come back. I still think we'll see him at some point, but you got to remember he tore that ACL in January, so I don't even know what a healthy Charles Omenihu will look like. Kind of putting healthy in air quotes, just because we're not going to see him with less than a year of recovery. You know, obviously throughout the playoffs and the end of this season.
Josh, how do you look at this defense? Because the last 2 years they've been number two in the NFL in sacks. Much to people's surprise, they have been. Even that year they beat Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, they were number two. This year they're 24th in sacks. And they did have five against the Raiders. The Uche move for the Chiefs, I know a lot of people wanted corners, but to me this kind of goes hand in hand with corners. I don't know how you viewed it and how much you wanted a corner with the Chiefs, but to me, getting to the quarterback does help your secondary. So I do think of these one and the same.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's all connected. I mean, this is true for both sides of the football. You're always trying to figure out where to allocate assets and how you can raise the level of your unit the best way possible. In this instance, there was not a corner on the market, and it was certainly not one at a reasonable cost. And maybe they end up making a move for some guy that was like a second round pick 4 years ago, who's at the fifth corner on the depth chart now, and they try to do a little short term, long term thing with somebody like that. I just think there's virtually no chance they like trade for Marshawn Lattimore, for example. But to your point, if you do, and kind of what I was getting at with Uche, if you get that pass rush specialist in there who's not quite like anybody else in that group, he's a guy that can speed up a quarterback in obvious passing situations that, again, absolutely benefits your secondary. The other thing is a little bit of an offshoot. I know it's something a lot of Chiefs fans are stressed about, and I get it. There's some truth to it. Joshua Williams did play meaningful football for this team at a decent level. So even as the depth chart kind of comes tumbling down, obviously losing Watson and Najee Johnson for probably a short period of time, maybe one game, maybe a couple, we'll see. Maybe he's back for Monday to have an extra day to prep. But Joshua Williams being the guy next in the rotation there, I think you can survive with, especially if you are getting help on third down from a guy like Uche, if you are getting defensive player of the year type of production from Chris Jones, and as he is demanding, Jones is demanding all that attention, better matchups for everybody around him. Uche's best year came with Matthew Judon demanding some of that attention in that Patriots pass rush. I think there's a chance they unlock a little bit of that with him here now.
The one thing I really like about Uche, I don't know if you've seen this kind of a, but it looks like strategy for the Chiefs, because you think about these mobile quarterbacks like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, guys that can run. Uche's biggest strength is pursuing. I mean, he's one of those guys that can really get out and pursue. Whether it's sack numbers or pressure, it's when that quarterback gets out of pocket. I thought that was a really strategic move for the Chiefs to have somebody on third downs that can really help you spy that quarterback.
Yeah, and I don't want to compare these two guys too closely because they do very different things and they're built very differently. But the way that they've used Leo Chanel, I think, can kind of put a little bit of that in context. Again, when I talk about Uche being a weapon, in this case, I think you're right, where if you are, Lamar's kind of a different animal even, I suppose. But if Uche is able to come around and to speed up that process and maybe even force a little bit of a scramble, now you're playing in the George Karloftis' strength, which is don't lose, win slowly if you must, and just keep marching back into that pocket and get ready to make a move with the quarterback. I think that's really a complementary skill set from that entire unit.
Last one for you, Josh. Monday Night Football, the Bucs, with the injuries, it doesn't feel like it has the same intrigue, at least for me, as it would have if Evans and Godwin are available. But what's the biggest concern, if any, for the Chiefs heading into that game?
Yeah, again, looking at the schedule and thinking, oh, you know what? This Buccaneers game might have been like the pesky little trap game, kind of a surprise if Evans and Godwin are out there. You get like a Baker Mayfield out-of-body experience. I could have seen it. At this point, the Buccaneers defense has been a mess. It's honestly, as much as I like Vita Vea and Creed Humphrey in the middle, they haven't been able to stop the run either. So finding the Chiefs' biggest problem, I think you have to flip it. I don't really think they have the weapons to take anything away from Steve Spagnuolo. Spags versus Baker Mayfield, I think, is going to be an incredible battle. I want to see if the Chiefs offense can do what it wants against a Buccaneers defense that should let it. If they run the ball 4 yards at a time with Kareem Hunt, I'm okay with that. I think we're probably going to see a relatively low scoring, relatively fast paced game if the Chiefs do lean in the rushing game. I know this is kind of a cop-out. I hate giving an answer like this because the Buccaneers have been a pretty good team when healthy, but the Chiefs' biggest issues at this point are all on their own side. Unforced errors, the turnovers. If Vita Vea picks off Patrick Mahomes, that will be the biggest problem, not because he's he's helping bolster that run defense, because it just hasn't been very good. The Chiefs, we need to see a nice primetime game with let's say, few to no self-inflicted wounds. That's what I'll be looking for.
Yeah, it's almost what they did last time they were on Monday Night, right? Against the Saints until the Juju Smith-Schuster play. Thinking of him, they just saving him for the Bills week.
I'm sorry, for Juju?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what practice looks like today, because again, as he and Dana, where they're kind of at through that process, I'm confused about Juju, because, you know, he missed the day of practice a couple of weeks ago, and Andy was like, oh, he'll be fine. And then he goes out there in the next week, and he's pulled in the first quarter and immediately ruled out for the Raiders game. I think, I'll say this, I do not think it is a Bills master plan. I think it is a let's make sure Juju doesn't tear something
there
kind of plan, and you try to have him for as late in the season as possible. I would love for him and Hopkins and Kelsey to all be on the field together against Buffalo, though.
Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor over on Chiefs on SI. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up next week.
This show felt so pleasant today. I just can't put my finger on why.
Wow. You know what? You missed Bink yesterday. Oh boy, you should go hear his Halloween takes. Drew, we learned, is afraid of clowns as well. It's been an interesting start.
You guys always give me the spooks and scares I need for my friend. Appreciate you, fellas.
There you go. That's Briscoe joining us here on a Friday.
I think Auden can be a problem for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, but you know what, Bink?
The Chiefs are giving up 81 yards, almost 81 yards a game against tight ends. Number one in the NFL. By the way, Tampa's number three. Yeah. So start Kelsey this week in your fantasy. The Ravens are, by the way, number two against tight ends.
Yeah, I appreciate the stat. Mean no disrespect, but like, I don't care.
I'm just telling you the reality of it.
No, I
that's
say
the
I,
one area
I,
that
I say I don't care. Not because of you bringing up the stat. I don't care because it doesn't matter. Like, we know they've been bad against tight ends. They haven't been beat because of them. And let them rack up yardage as long as you keep them out of the end zone. Like, honestly, like, Kate Otten, I agree with you. He's going to probably have 70 yards receiving. We saw Brock Bowers get his. Nice stats, no touchdown, didn't matter. George Kittle, bunch of yards, no touchdowns. So, like, it just hasn't mattered all that much.
It is different, though, with Otten, though, without Godwin, without Mike Evans, if they're going to be relying more on that presence.
No doubt. I just mean it as in, like,
I understand,
let the tight end go off. We're shutting down number one receivers all day long, right?
Statistically, they are the worst against tight ends.
They have been. They definitely have been. All right. Before we get to trash of the day, I want to get to some baseball briefly. We haven't talked baseball in a while. That's because George Brett was in studio with Fesco and Dusty today. And at one point, Brett was talking to them about the offseason moves. And I thought it was interesting when he discussed Michael Walker, who we know was great for this team, but he has an ability to opt out of his contract and probably will unless they get something done with him, because he can, you know, there's a market out there for him. But listen to George Brett, gave me maybe a little more confidence that he could have Michael Walker back.
And we've got this organization in a really good spot right now, don't we?
I hope Walker comes back. I really do.
Do you think he will?
Yeah, I think he will. I mean, I think he really, really enjoyed the guys on the team. The camaraderie they have and the culture in the clubhouse is so good. I mean, I was down there. I don't go down during the regular season, but I was in Atlanta for all those games, and then I was in Baltimore for all those games, and then I was in New York, and then I was in Kansas City, and just it was a culture that, man, it reminded me of the 14 and 15 teams. It really did.
Good. Talking about Michael Walker, and the player option is for $16 million. So he'll get more than that on the open market, and so that's why most people think he would opt out. Now, they could also get a deal done with them, an extension done with them, and that's the thought. Everything we've heard, whether it was from George Brett, J.J. Piccolo, or others around baseball, everybody says one thing universally. Michael Walker does love Kansas City, like his family and everybody. That's a huge part of this equation, too. Obviously, money is probably the top of the list. But after that, like, it's not like, you know, he had success and family's happy in Kansas City. That doesn't hurt when you're trying to get something done. I would like him back because then it allows you to have some more options, Bink, with what you do with Brady Singer. Whether you keep him, if you keep him, okay, well, then you run out of rotation again of Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo, Michael Walker, Brady Singer, and then suddenly you're feeling really good about the options you would have at the back end of the rotation. Or it allows you to move on from somebody like a Brady Singer if you needed to. If you lose Walker, to me, I don't think you can move on from Brady Singer. Yes, you can plug in Kyle Wright. See, he's coming back off an injury. Chris Bubich competing for that spot. Another free agent acquisition. But bringing back Walker just gives you a much deeper rotation and gives you far more options of what you can do with the roster, I think, heading into next season.
Yeah, because you just can't look at your starting five and think that's what it's going to be when it turns around in May and June, what it's going to do. Honestly, I know you brought up Kyle Wright. I think that's the big wild card. Like, I think this might be the biggest surprise on the Royals this year, how good this kid is. I mean, he had that shoulder strain where he missed last year. They did bring him on the road traveling. They brought Kyle Wright out with him. Did lead the major leagues in wins 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Has won a World Series ring with the Braves. I think that could be the wild card in the equation, how much they're expecting out of him, depending on if you bring Walker back or not.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
You filled me out on this one. I guess this has been a story that's made national headlines.
Major story.
In Colorado Springs. Have you been to Colorado Springs? Nice place, by the way.
I have. It's weird, though, because it's hard to get around because it's so north and south, how you go.
It's a lot of hills.
It's hard to get around it, but yes, it's a very nice town.
So there's a tattoo parlor that is next to an apartment complex, and they've been fighting. The tattoo shop, the complex, there's a dispute. And so the tattoo shop said, you know what? We'll show you. This all happened after dozens of tattoo shop customers had their cars towed after they parked mistakenly, they said, in a permit-only space at the apartment complex. So what does the tattoo shop do? They painted a giant penis mural on their roof for the tenants next door. You can look at the photo online.
It's more than one. It's many.
It's many. That's their response. They found a street artist. They commissioned this roof-sized mural featuring cartoon-style blanks. Engaging in various fun activities. Blanks riding bikes and skiing down mountains, parachuting, and other actions. You love this, don't you?
It sounds like
you love this, don't you?
It's something I would do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know great artists that could do something like this, but if I'm having my customers' cars towed, you are getting mural of junk on my roof. Many junks.
That's what you would
100% I think it's hilarious.
Okay,
that they
so this is
this
a tattoo shop. You're telling me you would paint a giant penis on your own house? That's what you just said. Isn't the joke on you at that point?
Well, no one can
this
see
is a
it.
Tattoo shop,
no one
so
can
it's
see
funny.
It, but the people you're trying to piss off.
I know, but I don't think you want that on the top of
I'll
your
be
house.
Honest with you, if somebody's flying over your house, if they're in a hell, if somebody's flying over your house and they see that on your roof, there's a lot
not.
Of questions that are going to be asked about you and not anybody else.
I told you long ago, if I was mayor of this town, I'd have a middle finger as crop art when people fly over Kansas City. Keep
a
on
middle
going.
Middle finger?
Jeez.
Middle finger right there.
Hmm.
The crop art that you have, I'd have the middle finger right there. Like, keep going, man.
By the way, guys.
I would do that, though. I appreciate stuff like this.
Our there friends over at Sazerac, Aaron, I believe, just dropped off. After hearing you all fired up, and he said, "Hey, Bink, do you need a shot of something?" He just dropped off a party bucket full of
fireball shots and some other. The goods to make an old fashioned is what he said.
That is so nice, man. There's so many nice people, man.
We're set for Fan Club Friday, 1 o'clock.
So many nice
look
people.
At that.
Thank you very much,
Bink. We don't have to have the beer if you don't want. We've got other stuff we can make now.
I'm diving.
Will
some
you?
Shots.
Will you take a fireball shot?
Yeah, absolutely.
Will that calm you down today? Are you? You sound so angry still. Yesterday,
I'm much more relaxed.
You don't
much
need all
more.
Of these, but there's 20 of them.
Drew, will you? Well, yeah. Will you take? Will you take one?
I can't stand fireball. But yes, I will take one. Yes.
It's either that or a couple clowns come in here. You decide.
I will take a couple of them then.
Every
whatever,
time I'm here, you do something different. Remember 4th of July when you went out there with the Roman candle for the first time in your life?
Yeah, that was cool.
You drank a beer for the first time in your life.
And I will not be doing that again.
But you... Well, cut the music for a second. I knew about the Roman candle thing on 4th of July. I was gone.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I saw the beer. I thought it was just that you hadn't shotgunned a beer before. Bink just said that was your first beer. BS. No chance.
It's what he said.
It's the first time that I've tried, like I've drank. So I've had IPAs before. Like I've been given IPAs.
That counts as beer,
I've
Drew.
Never had a Coors Light before in
that
my life.
That was your
life.
First time having a Coors Light, which is wild as well. Okay. I did
not
know
I'm not
that.
Be having another one.
What?
It wasn't good.
What if Burrow endorsed Coors Light like Mahomes does?
I am not that much of a fanboy. I am not a fanboy to the point at all where I would do anything that they... If Joe Burrow liked... Like, I'm not going
dude,
to buy...
Dude, you dyed your
I'm
hair
buying
just like him.
Drew, oh. you wear a jersey, man.
I did not dye my hair out of my own choice. That was a part of the bet. So, again... I'm not going to try to buy knockoff Cartier glasses because Joe Burrow's, you know, rocking the Cartier lenses, all right? If Joe Burrow endorsed Coors Light, good for him. I'm not going to have any.
You've been saying Goo Tigers with the X for the longest time because Burrow at LSU.
Yeah, but I'm not buying
you love
KJ, LSU
though.
Memorabilia because of Joe Burrow.
Don't know about that, Drew.
That is the trash of... The day. We'll see if
let
we
take one of these now just to get, you know,
go for
fire
it.
It up.
Go
jeez.
For it.
Bring me some.
Go for it. We'll grab that party bucket.
I need to
up
calm
next,
down, according to you guys.
Chiefs Red Half Hour. I didn't know somebody would be dumb enough to say this out loud. We'll tell you what this is, and it has to do with the Chiefs.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Chiefs.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
That's right. Time to talk some Chiefs football. Also, a reminder, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour today, since everything is pushed back a day with the Monday Night Football game, there will not be the normal quick Andy Reid press conference at 1 o'clock where we would get like the final injury report. That won't happen until tomorrow. So you have to keep an eye on our social media channels for that. And then I know, Bink, you'll be hosting a football show tonight out at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Lee Summit.
Talking Chiefs football and Lee Summit. And your guests tonight are who?
Mitch Schwartz.
Okay.
It's either Mitch or Sean Barton. It's Mitch Schwartz and Dana Hughes.
Perfect.
Come out there, talk to those guys, get the picture with them, do whatever. But it's always we give away a lot of good stuff too. Those Chiefs Super Bowl mural that lights up. People walk out with that. I mean, there's not a ton of people. Your odds are pretty good. Let me put it that way.
The sign you're talking about is, I mean, it's incredible. Honestly, I'm very jealous. I can't win it, but it's very, very cool. So hopefully you guys check out that show if you want to get your Chiefs fix tonight as well on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Chiefs. You're home for Kansas City sports. And then on Sunday morning, I guess you'll be on. Drew will be on talking college football. Maybe if Drew decides to wake up in time.
I will have the phone on.
I purposely did 11 a.m. so you would be awake.
Mm-hmm. The phone will be on ring. I'll hear.
You guys will be talking Chiefs all weekend. And I don't know if you'll be talking about this audio I'm about to play, because this is twice in 1 week now, three times in the last week, where a national personality honestly has made a fool of themselves. First, it was Greeny a week ago saying the Ravens are unbeatable, can't be stopped with Derrick Henry and Lamar. What do? They lose to the Browns a few days later. Earlier in the week, we played that audio from Mike Renner of CBS Sports saying the Chiefs are a fake undefeated team.
Yeah.
Then on Fox Sports Radio, which, yes, does air on this station overnights and on the weekends at times, Rob Parker, along with Chris Broussard, were talking about the Chiefs, particularly the offense. They made a comparison between Mahomes and another NFL quarterback, and I don't honestly know how you can even say this out loud. And like, there's just no way you believe it. And there's no, like, I really question your intelligence. Like, we've all been wrong about predictions and things like that, but there's some things you say and you're like, you don't believe this.
Kansas City Chiefs, they were making moves, because we already know their offense is stinky. Patrick Mahomes is worse than Daniel Jones.
Oh, yes. Boy. We don't know this. You know this. We don't know this.
Rob G, there was they made a trade, correct? And there it is. So if the minions who are like, oh, Patrick Mahomes, he got his help. He needs receiver help. He got it. Pump the brakes. As usual, the Kansas City Chiefs did the bare minimum. I didn't even know DeAndre Hopkins was still in the league.
Oh,
he only,
okay.
What is he, 40? He's not even a starter anymore. He gets like 40% of the snaps. I didn't, really? That's who you go get. Stop shopping at Goodwill. Go to Saks Fifth Avenue. That's where the Jets went. That's where the Buffalo Bills went. And guess what, Kelvin?
Guess
who's available?
Who?
Cooper Kupp is available. How about Cooper Kupp in Kansas City? They had Patrick Mahomes sign a bogus deal telling him, hey, take less money. We'll keep the band together. You have a chance to win and win and win. And all they do now is they bring back rejects and return items.
What the hell is that?
It's the typical response. It's why I tweeted it out and people are like, oh, you're being negative. It's like, well, who's going to be the national media type to talk up the Ravens and anybody but the Kansas City Chiefs? Saks Fifth Avenue, the Jets. Let's not use the Jets as an example for anything for how they shop.
Yeah, that was Rob Parker on the Odd Couple.
Well, Rob Parker is so interesting. This is
and
credibility.
Kelvin Washington.
He went after Tom Brady hard and always has. Called him the Loat instead of the Goat, the luckiest of all time.
Okay.
Like, he wouldn't even vote for Tom Brady, he said, for the Hall of Fame. That shows you kind of just to put in perspective, like what you're dealing with when you're dealing with this a-hole. You're dealing with nonsense, people that are uneducated in what they're talking about with the National Football League, which is funny because he was all over Brady back in 14. Brady went to 5 Super Bowls after everybody said the benching, but that's a different story. But he's going after the best of the best. It is about shopping, Small. It is about – watch a renovation show. It is about flipping a house and making a ton of money. Seriously, it's about buying a $100,000 house and flipping it for $300,000. It's what the Chiefs do. They're the master flippers. You come in here, you find somebody that fits the scheme, fits the offense, is the perfect fit, and you win. The bottom line is wins and losses, not Saks Fifth Avenue or shopping where the Chiefs do. That is nonsense. I'm tired of hearing about a second-place team in their division currently being better than the Chiefs.
That piece of audio is way worse than the audio from earlier in the week. Right, way worse. The earlier in the week, fake undefeated, was bad, but whatever. That entire rant, if you want to call it that, from Rob Parker, it just made no sense. Comparing Patrick Mahomes to Daniel Jones, first and foremost, didn't know DeAndre Hopkins was still in the league. The dude had over 1,000 yards last year.
And do what the Jets do? Who the hell says that? You lose all your credibility when you say do what the Jets do.
And that comment was made before the Jets even won last night, so it was even dumber at the time. I honestly, one of the most idiotic things I've heard when it comes to somebody talking about the Chiefs. Like, it's one thing to believe in another football team like Greeny did, believing in the Ravens or whatever. That's fine, whatever. But to make comparisons about a guy that's going to go down probably as the greatest quarterback of all time to Daniel Jones and talk about how they're not doing enough and they need to go get Cooper Kupp. The reason why they are a dynasty is because they don't make the dumb trade that gives up a first or second round pick for a guy that can't stay healthy and doesn't help their team. Stupid.
They don't go out and get things that are going to anchor the organization as a problem in the future. It's about opening windows. It's about keeping that window alive. It's about Brett Veach sitting there at the Super Bowl parade against the Eagles after they won that one, saying, holding up the Lombardi Trophy, saying, might go down as the best quote in history of Kansas City, says, this is what a rebuild looks like as he's holding up Lombardi. Because that's what they did. Mm. They relied on 5 rookie defensive backs in that game. They had a 7th-round running back in Pacheco doing the damage. You have to do these things and be smarter than everybody else to win football games. What the Chiefs are is just smarter than everybody else, and everybody else has a problem. It's almost tough to stomach these shows anymore. And I bring it up all the time. I used to say it on the Chiefs post game all the time. Tune in tomorrow, because you're not going to be able to stomach NFL Network and everything if the Chiefs lost. I said, you're going to be able to stomach, because they're going to tell you how bad they suck. But you know better than that. But just finding different reasons to put them down when they keep winning. This team has won 13 straight games. They have beat the Ravens twice in the last 12 months, including at their place. But yet these idiotic takes keep coming out about this football team when we lose sight of the biggest thing. It's about winning and losing. That's the toughest thing in the NFL to do is win. And there they'll bring up, oh, they're barely winning games. Well, not really, because the last 3 weeks, the Chiefs have been putting separation on teams. And you know as well as I do, Alex, winning even by 3 points in the NFL is good enough. Right. Winning by 7 points, you get to 10, you're blowing somebody out at that point, what teams do. But again, Patrick Mahomes has only lost 4 games in his history by more than one score. They can't find me another quarterback like that. They can't. They can't find another quarterback that's gone the 6 straight AFC title games in his first 6 years. You know what? Because that guy doesn't exist. The people think they exist, but they don't. Mahomes is doing things that nobody's ever done. Mahomes is 15-3 in the postseason. Only Joe Montana and Tom Brady have more postseason wins. And Joe Montana's going down this year because he only sits 1 ahead of Patrick Mahomes.
Did they also include fart noises in their show with his take? Did I hear that right?
Kansas City Chiefs, they were making moves because we already know their offense is stinky. Patrick Mahomes is worse than Daniel Jones.
Oh.
That was their audio, not ours, by the way. The offense is stinky. First of all, actually, they're up to 9th in points per game in the NFL.
They're 2 spots higher than the Bills.
Actually, where do the Jets rank?
2 spots higher than the Bills.
I'm not sure where the Jets rank. I don't give them much attention.
Well, according,
I'll tell you real quickly.
The Jets are on Saks Fifth Avenue, though.
That's
they're going to.
That's
Saks
where they're shopping. Yeah, they're all in.
Aren't they out of business now too? Like Applebee's.
The Jets are definitely. He's right in the shopping term. I'll give him credit on one thing. He's correct. The Jets are all in. They have racked up and max limited all their credit cards, maxed them all out.
How's that going?
And they're screwed, and they have no plan to actually how to repay it back. That is, he's correct. That is the Jets.
They're 24th in points scored per game. By the way, Drew. The Chiefs are 9th. Hmm. Yeah, big difference.
I guess that show airs overnights or something. Is that right on this station?
We called Tom Brady the luckiest of all time.
Luckily, normally after hours with either Drew or Bink or Mac is on the air instead of that crap that we just
We did talk about that last night, too. That was a... There's only... Because with the Chiefs, they don't have to go and get Amari Cooper for them to be fine because of what we saw last season. They have the best GM. They have the best defensive coordinator. They have the best head coach. They got the greatest quarterback. As long as you have that, I guess, that quadrant.
Do you agree with this, Drew?
You're good.
Because you're kind of, you know, outside of the equation with this team. If you ask,
oh, he's 30, all in. He's in the circle now, the circle of trust.
If you had all 32 GMs select, they could have any quarterback they want in the NFL. How many are taking Patrick Mahomes and how many are not? Because I'm saying 32 are.
I would say...
I think all 32 would.
Has to be all 32.
He's only 29.
We will have all 32 coming up next
hour. Yeah, I would say all 32. Probably.
Yeah. No. So those are the people that know. The ones sitting in those front offices. That's why the Chiefs are in the catbird seat. They can draft well. They develop well. They can make great trades.
What's so funny,
Somebody
Drew?
From the 620 said the Jets put the sack in Saks Fifth Avenue. Jeez.
Saks Fifth Avenue even open anymore?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It didn't go the way of Applebee's?
I don't think so.
Saks Fifth Avenue is still around.
Saks Fifth Avenue is a high-end store.
I mean, I wouldn't shop there, so
The Jets are shopping high-end. They went and got Aaron Rodgers. High-end.
Devontae Adams. Who Rodgers got mad at last night.
They gave Mike Williams 1 year, $10 million.
Really?
What's that?
Did Aaron Rodgers get mad at Devontae last night, Bink?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Because
he dropped the pass, game, and he looked very, very frustrated with Devontae.
But he always... I will say this. I like Aaron Rodgers more than most people. Still, there's levels to this. But it is funny. After every single pass that Aaron Rodgers throws, if somebody drops it, he just stares to the heavens like, why?
Well, he looks miserable.
It's just funny.
He looks miserable, except last night after the game, that was the biggest smile I've seen him have in 2 years, I feel like.
Yeah, they won 21-13.
Sense of relief beating the Texans last night. We'll get back into the Texans and Jets game and the implications of the AFC coming up in the noon hour. But you mentioned Mahomes a little bit more there, Bink, and where everybody judges him. We know... the numbers have not been there. We've talked a ton about it. He has not played his best football. All of that is true. But also at the same time, from an MVP perspective, whether it was you're talking about that a year or two ago or this year, you're not going to, if you're waiting and waiting for him to get to the same numbers he had in 2018, where he had, 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, like, you're going to be disappointed if that's what people are expecting to see. Now, there's got to be a balance there. I think we would all agree, like, the numbers need to be better, and I think they will get better as the season continues. Earlier in the week when you weren't filling in, Bink, we were discussing what we think the final stat line looks like for Patrick Mahomes this year. What do you think that is for you? Because I think he still ends up with anywhere 28 to 30 touchdowns, and he'll end up with about 16-ish interceptions.
Yeah, take the interceptions with a grain of salt. Look at the big picture. Did somebody fall down? Did the football bounce in and out of his hands? I can't count the Kadarius Toney ones the last couple of years. Even that Juju one was an interception, but that clearly wasn't Patrick Mahomes' fault. It was that you'll never see those numbers from Mahomes again. And you know what, Chiefs fans, that's a good thing. Because when he did put up those numbers, this defense was terrible.
He was
playing Texas Tech Pat, where he had to score every time on the field. He lost a game that year that he got his first MVP. He lost the game where he scored over 50, over 40, and over 30. He lost those games. You're not going to see that anymore. Like, he put up ungodly numbers because the defense was so bad. You want these numbers coming back because it means your defense is much better.
Yeah, that's part of the, you know, meshing of your team, offense, complementary football that we hear over and over and over, and it's a real thing. And the way they are winning now, people will call it being too conservative or not being aggressive enough, but they know what they have in their defense and what style of play they have to get. It doesn't mean would the Chiefs, would Andy Reid love to put up 40 points on Monday night? Of course he would. But they also know time of possession, long drives, with the defense that they have as well, and limiting possessions also for the opponent on the other end, like, You trust the defense is going to get the stop. You don't have to put up 34 points, 38 points to win these games. I agree with you. I mean, there is a certain style of the play. It's why they've been running the ball more this year than they were willing to do last year.
47% clip, which is like
much higher than what Andy Reid does normally.
Typically, Andy Reid's been 23rd, 25th, yeah. 28th in the NFL.
There's a reason for that. One, yes, we can say the wide receiver room, but last year the wide receiver room stunk. They're running the ball more, and they have a guy they got off the street in Kareem Hunt running the football.
They have more inside zone runs between the guards, yeah. The two guards in the center. They had 59 total last year inside zone runs. They've already eclipsed that this year. They're adapting. There's a big thing about adapting. And Andy Reid sitting there in the locker room saying, how about those Chiefs that he does every time? He doesn't care. He didn't care if Mahomes throws for 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, wins or losses. That's the ultimate way to judge anything.
The way that I've always kind of thought of this, too, is, well, the way that they play is a little bit risky because what happens when the one time the defense struggles and they don't make the stop? For the last year and a half, every single time it seems like the defense has been asked to make a play, to make a stop, going back to just last week with the goal line stand after the tip ball interception, I don't think they've one time had a play where they've lost the game. Like, the defense hasn't shown up when they've needed to. I mean, it's a crazy yeah. stretch where they make every single play that they have to, and you're almost getting to the point where you know that the defense is going to show up. There's not a single doubt in your mind that no matter how close the game is, the defense won't be able to get a stop when they need to.
And then when Mahomes needs, though, still to make on the offensive side, when he still needs to make that one winning play, we've seen two straight weeks he's done that with his legs in large part.
And his defense, like you said, making great. Bijan Robinson stopping him on fourth down the way it is. And it's not always been that way. You know, you look at the Chiefs and, you know, the Vermeil years and everything else. It was about going for two. Like, even with Mahomes, like, the Chiefs need to get down there and they need to go for two to win the game because the defense is going to give it up. But to be able to sit back there and rely on the defense making Chiefs offensive plays you've seen the last few years, incrementally different than how they're playing football.
Somebody brings up the point from the 913. I don't know. Or he said if the defense is better rested. If they score 35 a game, the defense would be worse because they'd be worn out because there's more time, I guess, theoretically, that they spend on the field. I think there's, to a degree, there's a point there with how they play. They're trying to wear down the other defense while providing the ability to not get tired for the Chiefs' defense.
Using their offense as defense. And the one thing about it is the Chiefs have such a rotation on defense. They're really able to spare a lot of people a lot of rest because the way they enter in and out their edge rushers,
yeah.
the defensive backs, this team rotates more than anybody in the NFL.
I thought against the Raiders in particular that stood out. I don't have the splits in front of me, but I feel like in the Raiders game this past Sunday, that what you just said, that happened even more, both offensively and defensively. I mean, we saw because of DeAndre Hopkins' workload, even on offense, we saw wide receivers kind of in and out, or personnel in general, tight ends in and out. That has just been what they have done consistently. I did feel like on the defensive side of the ball, though, we saw more of that. Maybe that also goes back to the trade that we mentioned with Briscoe earlier this hour. You know, when you bring in another body that's going to be able to rotate in with Chanel, and eventually you get Mike Dana back and Charles Amenhue back, you're that rotation, it's not going to get thinner.
No.
You know, now they maybe you see a few snaps go up for some guys, but they're going to be deeper in the rotation. That's how they keep Chris Jones healthy and fresh. That's how they keep these guys ready to go. We know they're playing 17, 18, 19, 20 games a year when you're the Kansas City Chiefs. You're not playing just the 17 game schedule. You're going to play 19, 20 games every single year.
Well, everybody's in Cancun. They're playing playoff games. That's the biggest difference. And the way they're rotating guys, yeah, the one deficiency we talked about earlier against the tight end. They've started to change that up a little bit. Like, you're seeing more Jaden Hicks. And I always thought Jaden Hicks would be that terminator for other teams' tight ends. We've seen Shamari Connor in the slot on the tight end or blitzing or covering that. But you'll see Jaden Hicks start to get more and more of a role, like he did, and getting that interception for the Chiefs. I mean, it's about reinforcements for this team.
913-586-7965. You guys can interact with us as always. We're just talking Chiefs here in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. Jay Binkley's filling in for Cody today. Cody will be back with us on Monday. Someone says, is Spags on Mahomes' level in a defensive coordinator role? Well, we've been very complimentary of Spags. I think Steve Spagnuolo, if there will ever be a coordinator that gets in as a coordinator of the Hall of Fame, Steve Spagnuolo is the only guy that could be that. I think everybody has acknowledged that Steve Spagnuolo is clearly the best coordinator in all of football. He consistently has done this group. got off to a better start as well. That's what's kind of scary if you're another team, is usually it takes till now for them to get revved up. They've been ready to roll defensively since week one of the season, and they're doing it without L'Jarius Sneed, and now they're down another corner. So, it's been really, really impressive. He's the best coordinator in football, and it's one of the best of all time.
So much so, Cody wants to have a bust made of
Yeah, yeah, he does. He does.
You would like to see that. I mean, it'd be perfect. But the one thing about it is just this coaching staff, the continuity, keeping it together. I mean, Drew, you've seen it for a million years in college football, the dominant teams of the 80s and 90s. They kept the coaching staffs there for the most part. It's been basically, you know, Spags having that defense and not getting head coaching opportunities because of the NFL shift to offensive minds, which has actually helped the Kansas City Chiefs, because Spags has put himself there where that's head coaching material, what other people look at. But when you think about Dave Tobe's been here since day one with Andy Reid. Yes, Matt Nagy left, but then came right back. I fully expect Doug Peterson to be back. But they've kept their coaching staff, for the most part, intact. And that's incredibly difficult to do when you've had success, because everybody tries to pick that tree apart. But the Chiefs tree is not being picked apart. Like, you lose GMs. You lose your offensive coordinator.
They've lost a few front office people here. You know, recently, Brant Taylis, obviously.
With the Carolina.
Ryan Poles, who's been the GM now in Chicago. But for the most part, yes, from a coaching angle, they've been able to retain.
They just stay here. It's consistent. Andy Reid knows what to expect of them. They know what to expect of him. And it makes this a well-oiled machine when it goes forward. Yes, and I mentioned, they lose the Nagy, but he does come back. But it's Andy Reid still calling that offense. That's what's happening. And you're not losing Brett Veach. He's not going to another team and turning them around. You're just not seeing that with the team. And Spags not getting that chance to be a head coach in the NFL. The Dave Tobe ship has run its course as well. He's not going to be going out there and getting an NFL head coaching job. But they've kept the staff intact, which is crazy in the NFL, because it's such a transient league.
I wonder if Spags would have been offered a head coaching job this past offseason, if he would have said yes, or if he'd have been like, oh, well, I'm just,
of course,
because I know, because Ben Johnson kind of did the same thing.
Different age.
I wonder if Spags would be like, I want that three-peat.
I think he would take the head coaching job.
He would take the head coaching job, because I hear the Ben Johnson comparison, but I guess I don't agree with it fully. What I mean by that is Ben Johnson can wait and be patient because I don't have his age in front of me, but I think he's like 40 or something like that. Ben Johnson's not 50. What is this bag? 60, 58. I don't know.
I think
something
he was
like that.
60s. Yeah.
So that's why I don't think it's the same. The other part is we had Spags on this show after the Super Bowl, Drew, and we asked him,
I remember.
He's like, oh, I love it, but of course I'd be like, he basically said, of course I'd be interested in being a head coach again, but I also know I got a great thing here. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said to us in February. So yeah, I mean, if that would have happened then, I think 100% he would have been there.
There's always those guys who want to try it, but then they find their role, like Dom Capers. You know, he had his chance.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
He had his chance as an NFL Capers, coach, but became a very good defensive coordinator. North Turner.
Sure, keep
that's
going.
How he make his way
Vic
as head coach.
Fangio. Great
but
DC.
He was very good. It's not just knowing what your role is. Yes, I feel Spags knows that, but I do think there's, you know, 32 NFL head coaching jobs. He'd take the job. And I understand Ben Johnson wants to wait, but the thing about the NFL is, you have a bad year, you're not going to get it.
But he's not having one this year. The Lions are
having a Kellen Moore.
Brent Venables, that's down at Oklahoma, of course, and he's probably going to get run. He had plenty of opportunities there for a while, and then all of a sudden he pigeonholed himself in the Clemson defensive coordinator. But he had his chance to go elsewhere, but never took it. But then those chances didn't come for a while.
Well, Ben Johnson needs to do it soon, but also
he's going to go to a bad team. You're not going to go to a great team losing their head coach.
I'll tell you what, the Cincinnati Bengals, I hire him in a heartbeat, please.
Yeah, Ben Johnson is 38 years old. I know that was stunning that he decided to not get a head coaching gig because he could have had one. But he's 38, and he's also the offense did fall off. The Lions' offense is just as good, if not better, than it was a year ago. And I've told you, my prediction still is the Bears miss the playoffs. They fire their head coach, and Ben Johnson's the head coach of the Chicago Bears. That'd be an unbelievable hire with Caleb Williams next year.
It's your prediction?
No, I've been saying it since
I need
August.
Mike Brown to hurry up and figure it out and, you know, get Ben Johnson there.
I think Belichick ends up in Buffalo if they collapse, to be honest with you. I think that's my hot take.
Okay.
Because he wants that quarterback.
Bill with the Bills.
I don't know if he'll go
in. I know people think Giants,
division, though.
But they don't have a quarterback, though.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll go in. And now it seems like more and more Brian Daboll somehow might actually keep his job. I don't know how.
Oh, he'd want to stick it to the Patriots.
Up next, we will get to what's trending, back into what happened last night with the Texans and what it actually means for the Chiefs.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare.
Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.